the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Praise the Lord. And we were talking about the old nature doesn't go away when you get saved. It stays with you. And I said, you can guarantee you now as a Christian, anything you do good, it will be because you have allowed Christ to live through you. I said any good thing you've seen Brinson Jennings do, it will be because Christ did it through me. Anything you see Brinson Jennings things bad that he does, it's because of Brinson Jennings. And there's a big difference. And thank God that we can allow the Lord Jesus to live in us and through us. Well, praise the Lord. It's looks a little different in here with the daylight, still daylight outside. I kind of like that. Do y'all like that? You know, it makes everybody's nice and green. Reminds me of, you know, Sunday mornings. Still got our green tent. But it's going to get later and later. And I like the longer days, though. Although, man, it's just been kind of weird getting adjusted to it. You'll be at home and, man, you're like, you know, playing with the kids and ready to do this and that. And you look, it's like 10 p.m. You're like, oh, man, time to get in bed. Brother Mike Swafford told me that he found the key to getting over this time change thing. He found the key. He says, basically, you go camping 2 days before the time change. And you sleep really bad. And when you get home the day before the time changes, you go to bed like at 7 p.m. And he says it's been good for him. So we're all going to go camping next year at daylight saving time. All right. So we'll all be ready for it and be ready to hit the ground running. Because I did not hit the ground running Sunday morning. Okay. I still like feel like I'm trying to catch up. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter tonight, we're going to have some prayer here in just a little bit. We'll split up for prayer tonight. I'd like to pray with the men tonight. It's been a good while since we prayed together downstairs, and we're going to do that. The ladies will be meeting in here for prayer, and Ms. Eugenia will be, I'll say a few more things about that, but Eugenia will be bringing you up to date more so on Ms. Elizabeth. She is doing well. She's still at the Oaks and is possibly going to be home as early as Friday, correct? Could be as early as Friday. We'll know more tomorrow. But Ms. Eugenia is going to be sharing some things with you ladies tonight, before your prayer time on some ways that you can assist. And maybe even sitting with Ms. Elizabeth, perhaps. Hope we can help do that, and also providing some meals. But I'll let her give the details on that. You guys can ask questions. But we do, as a church, want to try to help Ms. Elizabeth as much as possible as she comes home from rehab, from the Oaks, recovering from hip surgery. So we definitely want to do our best in doing that. Also, there'll be a few other announcements I wanted to make. As far as the Financial Peace University course, if you would, as I mentioned, I got a couple emails, and I'm sorry I didn't clarify it, but that membership is per family, okay? It's per couple or per family, and the husband and wife will share a workbook. Of course, if you have young people sitting in on it, they can take notes and different things, but there'll be one book that husband and wife share, or whoever is getting the membership, and that's the way we'll do that. And so if you can make your check out for $99, that's the cost of membership, make it out to the church, and then we're going to write one check for the sum that will be required for all the people taking it. Right now, we have right at 25 families that will be participating, and it may increase here in the next few days. We're trying to make sure people know that we're having it. We got our signs up and trying to just be a blessing in that way. But if you have any questions about that, please see me after the service or shoot me an email. But I'm really looking forward. That'll be starting a week from tonight, we'll be starting that, and looks like we're going to be doing it in here because of the amount of people we got signed up for the course. But I believe God's going to use it in our church, in our lives, and I'm really looking forward to that. Well, we're in 1 Peter chapter 4 tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this Wednesday night Bible study prayer time. Lord, we got many folks in here tonight that have been working today, Lord, and just facing challenges and difficulties and stress and busyness, and we've all been through those elements throughout this week. But now, Lord, would you just settle us? Would you settle our hearts and our minds? And Lord, as we look to your word, I'm asking that you do an encouraging work and draw us nearer to yourself. Holy Spirit, this is your work that only you can do, is to teach us and conform us and to get us where we need to be spiritually. And so we just ask you to take charge tonight. We'll thank you for what you do now and in the prayer time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'd like to ask you a question tonight. Some of you probably like this and some of you probably don't. But let me just kind of take a survey here. How many of you like surprises? Just out of curiosity, raise it high so I can see it. You like surprises. Wow, good many of you. Yeah, that's a good idea. It's not like a surprise bill in the mail that you weren't expecting. Those, yeah, it depends on what it is. That's true. And, but yes, surprises, boy, they are a very real thing. Some people don't like them. And those of you who didn't raise your hand, you just want to be in the know from the get-go. I want to know well ahead, no surprises here. I want to know exactly what's going to be going on, and that is some of you. Well, I want us to see here that Peter is writing to a group of Christians, and he's telling them, he's encouraging them not to be surprised when trials come. He's writing and encouraging them that, look, I want to encourage you, brethren, that do not be surprised when trials and difficulties come your way. He says here in our text, beloved, think it not strange. That idea is don't think it to be foreign. All right. Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. What is he saying? He's saying, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. And I want to encourage you tonight some ways that we can avoid being surprised by the trials in our life. As I preach this message, I'm preaching to a group of people that are currently in a trial. You are either going into a trial or you are coming out of a trial. Something we all are facing in different ways in our life. But I want to submit to you tonight that we do not have to be surprised by them. We can be prepared for them. I want us to notice, number one, how can we avoid being surprised by trials? Well, number one, you got to get this down or you can't get any further. All right. This is the very first thing. And Peter made it known right there in the beginning of verse 12. He said, beloved, beloved, you've got to know, number one, that you are loved dearly by Almighty God. And before you and I can do anything else, when it comes to the trials in our life, difficulties, testings, provings, whatever the case may be, ground zero, we got to realize that Almighty God loves us dearly. This is the Word of God speaking to us tonight, and it's beloved. That is not just, hey, I kind of like you, but Peter's writing to this group saying, listen, you are dearly loved. You are truly loved. And one of the first things that can come to your mind is that seed of doubt when trials come your way is this. Does God really love me? Why would He allow something like this to take place in my life? And that can be a question, can it not? You know, that is something that as it comes to our human thinking is that, wow, how could this happen to me? Does God really love me? Well, I want to submit to you, yes, He does. And you got to know that right off. So if you're going through a trial tonight, you're in a trial, I want you to do something right now in your heart and mind. You got to come. You got to say this in your heart and mind. God loves me. God loves me more than anybody in this world. And God is with me. And He is going to see me through anything. There is nothing too difficult. We know that God loves us that much. Secondly, we need to realize that we need to expect trials. Not only do we need to realize that God loves us, but secondly, we just need to expect them to come. All right? So that's where we see here. Think it not strange. Do not let that word thinking, don't convince yourself that they are a nuisance. Now, you talk about going against every ounce of flesh that I have, and you will too if we go by the flesh, that when trials come and difficulties come, we resist them. We almost get to the point sometimes where we dread them and despise them. You know, that idea of why has this got to be happening to me right now? I mean, seriously, Lord, why has this got to be going on? Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to experience these emotions, these feelings? Why this? Why that? And you got to realize right up at the front that God declares in His Word that we should not be surprised by the trials that He brings into our life, because they are to make us and mold us into the women and men of God that He wants us to be. We need to expect trials. Look for them to come. Don't shun them. But realize that God is bringing these things into our life. Don't think them strange. Don't think them foreign. But know that God has got it for a reason. And that brings me to my next point. You got to let them have their way. Because listen what He says here concerning the fiery trial. Now, this is talking about this fiery, that meaning there of that phrase is what they would use in these times as purifying metals. There was a purifying process that was only brought by fire, and it would bring that dross, it would bring those elements that were unneeded, the waste would bring them to the surface so that they could be scooped off. And it's really interesting that as they would bring those metals to a heat and to get those impurities to come to the top and to the surface, you could not see your reflection in that way. It was kind of nasty looking, okay? But as those workers, metal workers, would scoop those impurities off the surface of what that heat brought to those metals, and you got those impurities off and lifted over, then, my friends, you could see your reflection. It was clear enough for you to look over and see your reflection. And that, my friends, is what God is doing in our lives every single day. He's bringing impurities. He's bringing those things to the surface. And sometimes that you feel the heat more than any, you know, that phrase, boy, I feel the heat today. Well, you know what God's doing when you feel the heat in your life? Don't resist that heat. That's the flesh. If you buck that and get bitter and try to run from those trials instead of just saying, God, I need You. This is tough. I don't understand why I'm going through this. But God, would You just bring whatever You need out of me, any impurity. And God, make me into the servant You want me to be. And the Lord will do that. He'll bring them to the surface. He'll get them off. And you know what the purpose of that is? Is so that you will reflect His Son, Jesus Christ. I didn't even know Mike was going to sing that hymn tonight, but I thank God how the Holy Spirit led him to, because that's exactly what trials will do. It will allow us, if we respond biblically, it will allow Jesus Christ to live through us. They are to purify, and Lord knows we need purifying. And my friends, today, as you look at the trials that you've been through, and as you reflect back to the trials you've been into your life, can you not admit, I hope you can admit, that what good it did for you spiritually? Man, I can remember some of my darkest days. I remember that when God was shutting the door in Niger. And man, those are some of my just most difficult days in my Christian walk. But looking back, man, God was really bringing some nasty stuff to the surface. I had some pride, and man, I just was not wanting to cooperate with the work of God in my life. But when I finally surrendered and let God do what He was wanting to do, I believe some of those things were lifted out. And it ain't perfect yet. It's still working on it. Will, I'm glad for it. But my friends, let me encourage you tonight. You're going through a trial. You're going through a difficult time, a confusing time, a situation where you just feel burdened. Can I just tell you something? Let the Lord have His way. In fact, a verse just came to mind. You're not far from it. Go over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Go back there. Just one book. James chapter 1. This verse just popped to my mind. It says here, verse 2, James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now get this, a lot of working going on here. Faith worketh patience, and then verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. Now, it doesn't mean perfect without sin, but it does mean bringing to maturity. Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That means you won't be lacking the spiritual maturity that God desires you to have. What is God saying? Just stand back and let me do what I need to do. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to purify us. But not only purify us, but look there with me back in our text in verse Peter. Chapter 4, verse 12. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that which is to try you. Can I say that God's trials are not only to purify us, but they're to prove us. They're a test. They're a test. God tests His children daily. You're being tested right now. I'm being tested right now in my life. You are. We all are. In some way, you are being tested by Almighty God to see how you will respond when things don't necessarily go the way you had planned, the way you think. And God's going to test your submission and obedience to Him and His Spirit. It's to try you. It's to try me to see how we truly will respond to Him from our heart. Are we going to buck the trial that God has brought into our life? Are we going to get bitter? Are we going to complain? Are we going to murmur? Are we going to, woe is me? And that brings me to my next point. Not only they to purify and prove, but then I want us to see here that you need to understand, and I need to understand, when trials come your way, and this is a big one, folks, you got to get this one. The trials that you have in your life is not God picking on you. Sometimes we get the idea that God's picking on us. I remember as a kid, I used to ride the bus. I can remember the bus, bus 41. And, you know, up through high school until I got my license, I rode the bus and I was a car rider sometimes. But I remember in elementary school, there in bus 41, right there, I'd meet at the bus stop. I remember right where Westgate Drive and Marietta Street met. And there was a point, I can't remember if it was 1 year or 2 years, I dreaded getting on that bus. And the reason was because there was a bully on that bus. And his name was James. I hope there's nobody here named James tonight, is there? I hope not. I'm sure if you are here tonight, you're not a bully, so that's good. But this guy was a bully. And I can remember stepping up, coming up on those steps and walking down, and I could already know where he was. And it didn't matter where I was, he would find me. And he would do something. He would either, I can't remember if he had thumped my ears or shoot spitballs at me. I can't remember. But it was without fail, James was going to make it a point to bully me and to pick on me. And I remember the feeling I got about that. And you know that sometimes even as God's children, as a child of God, if you're not careful, you will look every time a hard time comes in your life, anytime you meet resistance, if you're not careful, you'll point a finger and you'll think that God's picking on you, that God's being a bully. But I want to tell you what, that's not true. God loves you way more than that. God loves me way more than that. He doesn't pick on us. He does prove us. He does purify us. But my friend, God does not pick on us. You see here in the Word of God, look what he says. He says, don't look at it as though some strange thing happened to you. He said, you can't look at your trials as something strange and foreign, like nobody else has experienced it. But boy, I'm telling you what, the difficulties God brings in your life and my life, God is doing a wonderful, miraculous work. And we can praise God for that, my friends, because Lord knows we need it, don't we? Wait a minute now. Am I all alone here? Do we need purifying, folks? Yes, we do. Do we need proving? Yes, we do. Constantly. Constantly. Just when you think you're arrived and boy, you're feeling mighty spiritual. Oh, boy. Oh, Lord, will bring up trial and remind you real quick. Ooh, I'm not as spiritual as I thought. It is life. And God does that because he loves us and he's not picking on us. And then my last point on this is this, my friends. Look at that last point. He says, don't look at it strange as though some strange thing that's foreign to you. It's quite contrary. It's a very common thing that God is doing in all his children all the time. But then this last word I want us to give attention to. Happened. You know what? There is no such thing as chance in the life of the Christian. And life in general, there's no such thing as chance. God is in control. God allows certain things to come into our life. And please understand in the context of this, I'm not going to go any further for the sake of time, but understand our context tonight. It's talking about living godly in Christ Jesus. When we're seeking to live a life for the Lord and different trials come our way, he's not talking about trials that come as a result of sin. He clarifies that in the next verse. You see there in verse 13, he says, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. All right, so we know Christ never sinned. So in the context, he's talking about when you're living for Jesus and trials come your way, tests come your way, and that's what's going to happen. But notice that next statement. He says here, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. You know what he's talking about there? In as much as long as you are partaking in Christ's sufferings. We can't blame God for the trials. We can't look to God and for the decisions we've made, maybe some sinful decisions and trials because of that. That we just got to take it upon ourselves and confess it to God. Let him forgive it and restore us and renew us. But this is just talking about somebody that's just trying to walk with Christ. Somebody's trying to walk with God and grow. And there are going to be trials that come your way. But I want to say they are on purpose. God has a plan. Behind every proving work, every trial, God has a purpose to bring us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. To be more Christ-like. You know, can I just say the opposite is true? If I were to turn this sentence around and this verse around, the logical conclusion is this. It is, think it strange if trials don't come your way. That is the logical conclusion of the opposite of this verse. If you turn it around, you gotta think it in this way. It would be strange if we had a life without trials. So my dear friends, it is biblical as a child of God not to buck or get bitter when hard times come your way, a testing of your sanctification, a testing of your love for Christ and your love for the brethren. My dear friends, you let God have His will and way. And you can go through life not being so surprised. And I can go through life not being so surprised when things aren't really going the way it would be easier. But no, Lord, You're doing a work. And we're going to let You do Your work. And I know that through this, I'm going to be more like Christ if I allow You to let patience and faith have its perfect work through this trial. And that's what God wants us to do. Let me close with this verse here. Go over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And look with me over to at verse 75. The psalmist understood this principle of not being surprised. In this verse he did. There were times when I'm sure he was like us. But look at Psalm 119, verse 75. He said, I know, O Lord. Listen to that confidence. I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and get this, and that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. The faithfulness of God bringing affliction upon the child of God is a part of God's plan to bringing forth those impurities, to purify, to prove, and to get us where we need to be. So I encourage us tonight as we look according to 1 Peter 4:12, as we partake in the sufferings of Christ and just living for the Lord, we're going to face that battle of the flesh, that base battle with Satan and whatever else. And you know what we got to do? We got to say, Lord, I don't want to be surprised. I want to see them as Your perfect will. I know You love me. I need to expect them. I want You to let You have Your way. You're not picking on me. God's not a bully. Never has been, never will be. And they are on purpose. Let's pray together. Father, I do want to thank You, Lord God, for the trials You bring our way. Lord, as much as we want to resist them many times in our carnality, and many times we want to get frustrated and sometimes even bitter. Oh God, protect us from that spirit. Oh Lord, that is not of Thee. Oh, Lord, your wisdom is from above. And, Lord, it is gentle and holy and precious and understanding and easy to be entreated. Lord, I want to be that way when trials come my way. And I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight that, Lord, You would meet needs that only You can. And Lord, help us to respond as would be pleasing to Thee in our trials. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.